As I was saying, when I was so gloriously interrupted. Page 911, if you got a Bible like mine. Ezekiel chapter 17. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. Now, Lebanon has always been famous because of its cedars, which God chose to link in parable to the dynasty of the kingship of David. A great eagle with great wings, long wing, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field, and he placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. It grew, became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him. The roots thereof were under him. It became a vine, brought forth branches, shot forth twigs and sprigs. I only preach for one reason, and that's to prove that when God says something, he does it, so that we can take the things he said to us and hang on him, because he'll keep on doing what he says. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you watch God's performance, faith comes forth that he'll keep doing that for you. That's why I preach. That's why you're here. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it with the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind toucheth it? It shall wither in the furrows, whether or where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them. And then God interprets the riddle. Behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon, and hath taken of the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land. Now Nebuchadnezzar knew that the people of this land lived under the umbrella of promise that God had given to David, that always one of the seed of David would rule over them. So when Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem, the prelude to the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, He took their king that they had recognized in chains to bondage, but he picked another of the descendants of Judah through Pharaoh's, through David, Zedekiah, and made him his puppet. He had the lineage. The king that had been accepted by the people, also of the lineage of David, had been dispossessed by Nebuchadnezzar. And he placed Zedekiah, also a descendant of David, of the Judah line, on the throne, having made a deal that he would rule Jerusalem as a puppet king. And Zedekiah made the agreement. Hath taken of the king's seed, Zedekiah, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, moved them in chains to Babylon, leaving only weaklings, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant, it might stand. But he, verse 15, circle that word he, and write Zedekiah in the margin. This puppet king, he, Zedekiah, rebelled against him, that is, against Nebuchadnezzar, breaking the covenant to be a puppet. The puppet king. And he, Zedekiah, tried to make a deal with Egypt. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. 15th verse, he is Zedekiah, him, king of Babylon. He, Zedekiah, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in sending his ambassadors unto Egypt. He tried to make a side deal. That they, that is Egypt, might give him horses, and much people. Shall he prosper, God says? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? You see, God likes people to keep deals they make anywhere, even with bad people. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised. Now, let me go slow so you can get the right kings in the right kingly place. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 16, first king is Nebuchadnezzar, the place is Babylon. Surely in the place where Nebuchadnezzar the king dwelleth, that is Babylon, that made him, that is Zedekiah, king, puppet king of Jerusalem, whose oath he, that is Zedekiah, break even with him, that is the king of Babylon, in the midst of Babylon he shall die. You see, in the original language you can tell which word modifies another word. There's a lot of he's and him's and kings in this verse. Let's do it again. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, dwelleth, that is Babylon, that made him, that is Zedekiah, king, that is puppet king, whose oath, that is Nebuchadnezzar's oath, and his oath, the covenant, Zedekiah, he despised it, and whose covenant, that is the contract made between Nebuchadnezzar and Zedekiah, that put him on the throne. He, that is Zedekiah, break. Even with him, that is the king of Babylon, in the midst of Babylon, Zedekiah shall die. Now this is written before it happened. The reason I'm going so slow, the Bible fills in pretty narrow details. Neither shall Pharaoh, with whom Zedekiah made a side deal, with his mighty army, Now, the whole point of my laborious going through this chapter today, a chapter I've looked at before, is to show the precision with which God dots every I, crosses every T, and keeps every detail of His promise. Neither shall Pharaoh, with his mighty army and great company, make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he, that is Zedekiah, the puppet king, despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand, the means of sealing a covenant like shaking hands, though they didn't shake hands, they put their hands somewhere else. No, I won't tell you where today. By casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath, by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and had done all these things, he, that is Zedekiah, shall not escape. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised. Now, how's that for letting you know that God's in control? Sometimes carnal, evil men act like that they make deals. You know, nothing happens to you or me if we're in God's hands, that God doesn't stay in control. I don't know what kind of mess you may be in today, but God is in control in the mess with you. Thus saith the Lord, as I live, surely mine oath that he, Zedekiah, hath despised, and my covenant that he, Zedekiah, hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. I will spread my net upon him. He shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him, that is Zedekiah, to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass that he hath trespassed against me. That breaking of his vow was a trespass against God. And all his fugitives with all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. That ends the riddle. That tells you who the two eagles are. The low eagle that bends her roots, and the high eagle, many-colored Babylon that comes, and what they will do to Zedekiah, the puppet king of Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel was prophesying by the river Chebar, already in bondage. At the same time, Jeremiah is raising his voice, and the princes around Zedekiah, as this prophecy begins to be fulfilled, Jeremiah, who knows the word of the Lord, is saying in the city of Jerusalem itself, this city is going to fall. It is going to be taken by the king of Babylon, and he is offering a way of escape because God had promised to Jeremiah that he, Jeremiah, and the remnant that was with him would be spared. All people had to do who listened. Give me just a hair more mic, Mike. It's hard to talk to a man who controls the mic whose name is Mike. I don't know whether I'm turning him on or he's turning the mic on. Turn it up! Why did they take a picture of his wife at that moment? All they had to do was join with Jeremiah and believe God's word, and they'd have been spared. The princes said, this man seeketh not the good of this city, but the harm. He's spreading bad news. And they took Jeremiah and threw him in a pit to shut him up. The prophecy came true. Nebuchadnezzar marched in conquered the city, brought Zedekiah and his children forth, and because Nebuchadnezzar was bound by the laws of his land, he thought that the dynasty or lineage of a king, the kingly line was through the male heirs. He didn't know the Bible. He had not read the writings of Moses. To him, the kingly line was wiped out when he killed the male heirs. I have a simple purpose today. I'm still trying to get into the Middle East and the Muslims and Lebanon, but they'll be there when I get there. I'll guarantee you I'll get there before September. And we're going to be here at least until next September. I want us to see today, as I go with microscope, God pulling the strings. Well, I could preach about us. A few months ago, a modern representative of the evil forces that Nebuchadnezzar would succumb to periodically, they're still around. Those demon forces says, we'll shut up this church. We'll pull the plug. God says, thy plug pulling shall be a launching pad and go to hell besides. I talked to someone late last night between that person and me. I said, there is one thing I know, didn't quite say it this way, but the meaning got across. The pivotal book of New Testament faith is Romans. And the pivotal chapter of Romans is the 8th one. And in the middle of that pivotal chapter is the eternal promise of God, misquoted in every promise box. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. That is not true. Sorry. But I can testify, and God's Word has been mistranslated, all things do not work together for good. There are lots of things coming at me and you that are not designed for good and will not, if left alone, work good. The literal is, Romans 8:28, God entereth into all things. As the mess converges, if you are not called according to God's purposes, the things can have their shaking result. But to them which are the called according to God's purposes, that's why I've been telling you for weeks, you need to look on yourself and recognize you've been called. To them that are the called according to God's purposes. Ever since I made my commitment, everything's gone wrong. I got a cut in pay, I lost my job, my car was run into. My dog has hemorrhoids. There's no H on that. It's the Philistine disease. I don't know if dogs get it, but they were called dogs, you remember? Philistines were called dogs. Philistines get hemorrhoids. Boils. Not those others. Preparation H will not help Philistine diseases. A different thing. So, to continue, after that eloquent explanation, my dog got hemorrhoids, my roof caved in, the bank went busted with my $10. My ex-wife showed up. Oh, God. Her mother moved in. I'm being audited by the IRS. That's it. That's the end of the line. I can't think of anything worse. To them that are the called according to His purpose, God entereth into that scene of all things and begins to pick up all the streams and weave His fabric. God entereth into all things to work His good. To them which are the called according to His purposes. Now today, if you can believe that promise, you can spit at the winds of your circumstance. If they look like a tornado, you can say to that circumstance, wait till His hand gets on the nape of your neck. Because you know God's going to enter in. Well, let's watch how thorough he can be. Zedekiah is the last of the Davidic line. He's the last. Nebuchadnezzar has the rest of them over there in Babylon under his control. He brings Zedekiah and his sons out. He kills all the sons into the male line. And he blinds Zedekiah after letting him watch that slaying of his sons. And he takes Zedekiah to Babylon, where he'll die, like the prophecy said. End of riddle and its fulfillment. But God said some other things. Since He was so thorough with that part of it, how about the rest? Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar. That means He's going to do something to that line of David. I will take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it, a replanting. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one. And amazingly, in the original, it has the feminine touch. A tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. A young, tender twig will be taken by God and planted upon a high mountain. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
And eminent in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, be a goodly cedar. Under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. Hey, this twig replanted, which is the ruling line of David, will have a vast coverage. It will not just rule over Israel, but fowl of every wing will come and be under, or the wings of this mountain will cover fowl of other wings in the shadow of the branches. It will cast a shadow. A tree so large that it'll cast a shadow. That in the shadow of the branches of that newly replanted tree, tender twig that becomes a tree, planted in the height of the mountain of Israel, the shadow will be where fowl of every wing shall dwell, and all the trees of the field. That means every kingdom, shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. I have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and he puts it in the past tense, which is the language of faith, and have done it. Now, what did Nebuchadnezzar miss? That, you know, I got a hat that's too big. And the only way I can keep it on my head is use my big ear to fill some of the space. Let me hear it. What? How do I get my glasses in there? I mean, you know, I can't go like this. I got a big problem. Now that we've taken care of that, where did this happen? What Nebuchadnezzar had missed, you're going to find God had prepared way back in Deuteronomy. Let's go find it. No, let's go to Numbers. If I can find it. I think I can find it. I really do, if I look long enough. Go back to Numbers. I'm moving slow today. 27th chapter, page 200, if you got a Bible like mine. I have one goal today. One simple goal. I'm back to demonstrating God's in control. He outsmarted this old boy, Nebuchadnezzar. Old Nebuch had a razor, and he cut off, he thought, the Davidic line. But he had missed something. Way back in the wilderness, chapter 27, Numbers, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters. Mala, Noah, Hogla. My Lord, wouldn't you hate to marry her? Now, Hogla, honey. Come on with me, Hogla. I'll feed you pumpkin. Hogla, will you marry me and let me change your name? My Lord. Mala, Noah, and Hogla. And Milcah and Tirzah. I don't know about Milcah either. Whoa, Lord, help us. Help us now. I lost my place. And they stood, am I boring you? And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation saying, see, women's livers didn't start in this century. I tell you what. The hell with that glass. I'm going to read. If I have to, have somebody hold the Bible out there. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar. And before the princes and all the congregation, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness. And he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord and the company of Korah. You see, there was troublemakers too. And they had to disassociate themselves from Korah. They weren't in that bunch. But died in his own sin, had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he hath no son. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. It hadn't been for these ladies. I want to tell you something. There'd be no United States today. Manasseh would have been wiped out from the inheritance among the tribes. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and you'll find the answer further down. Thou shalt speak, verse 8 says, unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And so on it goes. First in line, if he have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Numbers 27 was not in Hammurabi's code. Numbers 27 was hanging there on the shelf of God's utterance, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't know about it. He didn't kill the daughters of Zedekiah. And he didn't know God was weaving the pattern, because when God gave a promise to Jeremiah that he and his remnant would be spared, once when Jeremiah was crying out from the pressure of being God's voice, God said, you're going to have your life for a prey. And the enemies, when they come, will treat you well. Old Nebuchadnezzar, marching into town, doing his number, wiping out David's line, gives a special order to the leaders of his soldiers. You take special care of Jeremiah. Give him kind treatment. So here comes killer Nebuchadnezzar, assigning his lieutenant to be Jeremiah's bodyguard and his remnant. And Jeremiah was related, a distant uncle, to these daughters, so he becomes their guardian, and they become his wards. And a tender twig from the highest cedar in Lebanon, from the David line, is in the wardship of Jeremiah, who is in the wardship of Nebuchadnezzar himself, and being protected. How's that for working it out? They go down to Egypt. Now, Jeremiah never really wanted his job. God, why did you assign me and let me find this program on TV instead of finding somebody just stroke and massage me all the time? This place makes demands on me. Gently. But they're there. Can't just drink it in and do nothing. And ever since I got involved with this, things have gone wrong. Well, that's what Jeremiah complained of. I've taught on this. I'm putting it all in perspective today. You ever heard Jeremiah bawl and squall? He is something else. I mean, he just can't stand what God's putting him through. Woe is me. Ever since you called me, I'm in trouble. Ever since you got on my case, everything's gone wrong. Ever since I started serving you, everybody's turned against me. Lost my friends. Woe is me. Jeremiah 15. Woe is me. I mean, if you want joy, jump for it. If you want joy, sing for it. All the little formulas of glorious Christianity don't work. They dunked me in that Baptist tub. And I came up to fire. Been burning ever since. Woe is me. My mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife. Damn it, Ma, why didn't you just close the gate? Why didn't you abort me? My mother. Woe is me. Now there's possibility preaching for you. As I said last Sunday, these Bible preachers just didn't know what faith is. He didn't have faith in his mouth. Now he could have said, I want a Cadillac so I can drive out of here. And if he had had the faith for it, he had had a Cadillac with a rumble seat for his mother. The man was just too negative. Had no faith. That's Jeremiah's problem. No faith. You're never going to get delivered if you talk like that. You put those negative things in your mouth. Now, I believe you ought to eliminate the vocabulary of doubt. But I'm encouraging you. God doesn't forsake you because you got it. Thank God. Or I'd be long gone genie boy. Woe is me. Why wasn't I born without a nose? Woe is me. My mother. You sang that song, Tiny Turned Up Nose. Did you know what trouble this nose would give me throughout my life? Like a faucet never turned off. Damn it. Why wasn't I born with cotton in my nose that just absorbed it? And I can screw it out periodically and then be done with it. This interrupts every message I preach. Since I got this mustache, all I don't even need mustache wax. All I got to do is just twirl it. Now some preachers try to wake you up by saying, hallelujah, I use effective methods. Woe is me. My mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife. He's always in trouble. Can't be in God's will. Impossible. A man of contention to the whole earth. Wherever I go, Lord, I make contention and strife. He needs to get a little love, doesn't he? He'd be more loving. That's what those princes said. Everywhere he goes as a man of truth, contention and strife. I've neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them curses me. Can't be in God's will. Everybody's cursing him. The Lord said, change your ways, son. Get a little sweetness in your nature. Get a perpetual grin on your face. And if you leave it fixed there, it won't wiggle the face mask, and you'll have less trouble with your nose. Quit going around declaring the word of the Lord. Just worship. Peace. What the Lord said, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. The Lord said, verily. My nose seems to be giving me more trouble today than normal. Verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. You see, Jeremiah was chosen. Well, I don't want it, God. You realize Jeremiah didn't even have the language yet. How would you like to be picked by God before you can talk back? Shut up in that little dark place. Helpless. I mean, talk about being unfair. I mean, you guys can talk back to God at least. Look at this poor kid. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, that's interesting. God sees this maiden in Israel. And he's weaving the lines. He says, now I've got to find her a man that is related to the line of David. Or he sees a man and says, I've got to find him a woman. Now they're just going about their business. And God puts a gleam in an eye. And he spells gleam. J-E-R-E-M-I-A-H. The poor kid wasn't even born. Just a gleam. That ain't very democratic. Just a gleam. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I set you apart. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Well, but I want to play hopscotch like other kids. Sow my wild oats. You're going to make an abnormal person out of me. You know, I believe, this may sound strange to you, but I believe every person committed to this work, God chose you the same way. That's the wondrous individuality of the body of Christ. God chose him, and he assigned him his job. See, I this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. And through five kings of Judah, Jeremiah prophesied their destruction and what would happen to them. And the last king, Zedekiah, they threw him in a pit because his prophecy was disturbing the will of the people to fight against Nebuchadnezzar. Every single one of them, to a T, his prophecy came to pass. But God also said to build and to plant. And in the riddle, followed by the direct prophecy of God, God said that a tender twig would be taken off of the cedar, the top of it, of David, the cedars of Lebanon dynasty, and that tender twig would be planted in the highest mountain of Israel, and it would grow to a tree that would cast a shadow that strange birds of other wings would find rest under its shade. A great empire.
This is the end of side one.